Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Hi everyone, this week I'm so thrilled to be joined by Giselle Lepompe-Moore. Giselle is someone I've long admired as someone who's not afraid to speak her truth within the spiritual space, even if it means calling things out that don't sit well, which I personally really admire. So when I was given the opportunity to have a pre-read of Giselle's new book called Take It In, I was so excited to dive in, as the concept is all about doing the inner work to create your best damn life. And even though the book is ultimately about manifesting, it's much more than that. It's about getting deeper into the depths of our discomfort, sitting with that and analysing it. So really doing the inner work and looking at our shadows. Because ultimately, and what Giselle will speak more about today, is that if we're trying to bypass our experiences, we're not able to fully grow. And it's usually only through sitting with our heartbreak and griefs that we can really see our true strength and uncover our hidden truths. So today we have a lovely deep discussion about what it means to really work within our shadows in order to move towards getting the stuff we want, the importance of giving ourselves permission for self-care, and how there's no right or wrong way to be spiritual. We also throw in a few little nuggets of conversation that you may or may not find a little controversial. You'll see what I mean as we chat. But this is also an invitation to listen. And if you do start to feel uncomfortable with what comes up, maybe this is an opportunity to ask yourself why and dig into that. And it's just an invitation, of course. So I was so bloody excited to speak to Giselle after reading the pre-read of her book. I literally binge read it like a Netflix show over the space of one day. I was hooked. So you might find that maybe at times I might sound a little bit scatty and fangirly, but at the core, I hope you enjoy our very real and raw conversation of how to truly manifest by really working on your own shit. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it usually sucks. But we can only really make change by working on our inner work first. All right, I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's start the show. So, hey, Giselle, how are you today?
I am good. I'm currently looking out of a New York apartment window, which feels very decadent.
It's yeah, really nice, though. Yeah, thanks for taking the time today out of your busy schedule. I know that you're, yeah, really busy now with the lead up to your new book launch, Take It In, which is all about doing the inner work to create your best damn life. And yeah, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me have a little pre-read because it's coming out in March 2022. I've been reading it and yeah, wow, I'm really excited for it to come out into the spiritual space, as I'm sure you are as well. And for me, I've had so many moments reading this book where I've had to just like, yeah, really just stop and actually just, pun intended, take it all in. yeah, it's a book I think is really needed in the world right now. It's really raw, it's honest, it's personal, and also really, really freaking funny and a real invitation for self-reflection. So I'm definitely going to be coming back to it time and time again and to really sit with it and journal because you also accompany the book with lots of little lovely journal prompts as well. So first of all, just want to say thank you for putting this book out there, but maybe for the listeners who haven't read the book yet, because it won't be out actually when this podcast airs in a couple of months' time, or haven't come across you, would you mind just telling the listeners a bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Giselle. I'm a spiritual guide and a teacher. And so some of the modalities that I use in my work are meditation, Reiki, tarot, and just Akashic records and some spiritual teachings. And I think for me, like when I was sitting with this book before it came into fruition, I was just like, we speak about that buzzword manifesting all the time, right? Mm. And it's like there's so many rules and rituals and steps. And when I looked at my life and all of my clients' lives, I was like, what's the one thing in common? I was like, it's just doing the work. And it's something that we kind of now overuse that term a lot, you know, what does doing the work look like? Mm-hmm. And it's just having, you know, a spiritual practice. And from that space of reflection and introspection and questioning who we are, like, that's just kind of how we manifest stuff in a very unintentional way, it feels like. So I think that was like the initial intention that I had as I was writing the book, for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a really nice opening to describe. And the book itself is just really refreshing in that sense, because I think you're right, there's so many buzzwords around manifestation and it's piquing interest at the moment. But I think when you break the book down, it is really about like, yeah, looking at yourself and just like actually going into like the shadow side of yourself, which is maybe not as glossy as we, you know, as we want, but actually that's really real. And it's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've been manifesting since I was 15. So like you name it, I've probably tried it. And I realized that like I was always in my room doing all of these like affirmations and writing like something in my journal 655 times was like an angel number. And I was like, I didn't manifest stuff that way. But at the same time, I was like, hang on, but this doesn't really account for like just the very real stuff that has taken place in my physical body. Mm-hmm. Like as a Black woman living in London who was homeless at one point, I just can't outwit that stuff through reading some spiritual books. Mm-hmm. Like I had to really work deep on like what stuff am I carrying that's not allowing me to have the life that I would like to live. And that was a really huge part of me wanting to share this work, is just because just by being alive and being in a human body, we've just all been through a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we have to kind of sit with that and wade through it to be able to get the stuff that we do want, because how else do we get there? And I think it's hard and frustrating when we see so many of the narratives around manifesting being, mm-hmm. it's super easy, like it's available for everyone. Like it's not though, like we're all starting on very different playing fields, and I think we all can achieve that and get the things that we want. It's just like we have different paths and routes to get there.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, thanks Giselle for explaining. And I think maybe we can also dive into some of the shadow stuff, because I would love to go there a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But maybe to start from kind of the way the book's laid out, which I really also enjoyed and appreciated, by the way, being very structured Scorpio. So you basically break the book out into three sections. So the first section is look at your stuff, which is kind of what we were touching on a little bit. Second is work on your stuff. And the third is get the stuff you want. And then, yeah, when I was reading the book along the way, having so many realizations, and I don't think we're going to have time to go through all the sections, but I wanted to just start from the beginning, because I feel like this work on your stuff, even like we were just getting into it just a tiny bit then, is like so important. And I think not talked about enough, but you also speak about what it means to be spirit informed. And I think maybe for the listeners, that might be quite interesting. Could you mm-hmm. give a description of what that means?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like as a practitioner and just like, if you just have an interest in spirituality, there's just like a lot of words that we all use without reflecting on. So I always just use it as a little, the language of like being spirit led. Mm-hmm. That's how I describe the work that I did. And when I was talking to spirit, I was just sitting with that and I was like, but we're not really being led by spirit, because we also are spirit. And there is both free will and agency and choice. And when we speak about spirituality, we're speaking about almost like how we can identify with, you know, being a spiritual person. And for me, we're all spiritual beings. That's a huge part of my work and my belief system. So for me, being spirit informed is really just about, if you recognize yourself as a spiritual being, if you have a connection with spirit, then how do you live your life? So even if you have never picked up a tarot deck before, or you have no idea, you know, what the moon's doing right now, you're spirit informed because you know that you're a spiritual being. And that languaging for me just felt really inclusive. And it definitely came from, you know, we speak about being trauma informed all the time. Mm. And being trauma informed means that we can have conversations, we can hold space in a different way. We have an understanding of who we are and people's experiences here. and being spirit informed feels the same thing for me. It feels like it's for everyone. There's no, you know, rules or requirements to be spiritual, because we just are.
I love that description. Thanks. And it's really nice, I think, to acknowledge that it's like everyone is a spiritual being, you know. It's not like mm-hmm. we have this special gift or anything. It's just like everyone on this planet
doesn't have to be, you know, something that we do or mm-hmm. practice. And I wanted there to feel like there's some freedom with that. So like, I don't really talk about many of like the actual practices of doing spirituality in the book.
Yeah,
you get to define what that looks like for you. And it's like, that's just like my biggest desire. And I'll always keep working really hard for everyone to feel like they can be spirit informed. I really do think the world will change if we all saw ourselves that way.
Mm. So maybe then we can get into a little bit more of the depth of the book and some of the topics in there. I mean, you cover so many topics. It's just nuts. Like I feel like I want to list them all that you cover, because there's literally like so many realizations in there and some things that I think have never maybe or are barely addressed in the spiritual space. Even like we move from like spiritual bypassing to race, and you talk a lot about your own experiences, obviously, in the space, which I think is so refreshing and so important. But one of the things I really enjoyed reading was about spiritual bypassing, because you're really honest about this. The trends, like you kind of mentioned as well, on social media and the way that we're living in this high-paced world, we're really quick to want to attach results to things, like to what you're speaking to as well with like the manifestation and like a quick outcome. And I just wanted to read one of your quotes that really spoke to me and kind of really jumped out to me was, it says, to feel good in life is also to experience sadness. To be in love, we have to know heartbreak. To feel peace, we absolutely need to feel fear. We'll continue to be disappointed in life if we see it as anything other than something to feel into, be curious about, and grow through. Something to just be in. There's plenty of love, happiness, and joy up for grabs here, but we need to be okay with experiencing the opposite too. So that quote was just, I don't know, it gives me all the feels. And I just think it is so important, like we were saying, like at the beginning, within this section of like, look at your stuff, to just sit in that discomfort. And like, yeah, I don't know, I've experienced a lot of discomfort in the last kind of year or two. I think we all have in our own way, because of COVID, but also just this big awakening basically that's happening. And like, what do you think, Giselle? I mean, it's a big question, but what do you think we can do with sitting in the discomfort, like in your own words, what do you think that helps to do?
I think the first is just knowing that it's part of life, right? And there's one of my chapters is called, it's not always a smooth ride, because I think we think it is going to be a smooth ride. So when, you know, life just feels really hard to be in, we're like, there must be something wrong with me, because life is supposed to feel good. And like, it's kind of not supposed to feel good all the time, which is like never fun to hear, right? But it's like, it's not. And I think having that acceptance with that makes it easier when we are in times when it feels just really hard to be a human. Like it feels really hard to be human right now. And if we can just sit with, this is just awful, and how can I be okay despite it being awful? Because within the discomfort and the tension, there'll be a truth that we need to see. And even if that truth is, this just sucks, and how can I look after myself when something sucks? That's a huge truth to realize. And if we're always trying to bypass the stuff that doesn't feel good to search for things that do, we're not able to grow and to witness what we're supposed to see through the discomfort of it. Because if we all look back at our past experiences, it's usually through the heartbreak that we learn something really magnificent about ourselves. We see how resilient we are. We see our strength. We see how much we need each other. And if we're just pretending to be happy all the time, we don't get to see that.
Yeah.
We don't allow people to hold us when we're happy. We're just being happy. So I think like life has to be duality, and us being open to it being all of the things, because we are all of the things. We're such complex human beings. Like, we're so messy and beautiful and special and neurotic, and that's just what makes us special and makes the world really special. So if we can see in ourselves that we're all of these contradictions, and the world around us is full of contradictions, we can kind of find peace. And I think that peacefulness is such a huge word, because even during, you know, a global pandemic, we can still access a feeling of peace. The outside world may not afford us that peace, but we can internally find that. And I think when we have that intention to find peace or to find balance, despite what the world is doing around us, like, that's incredibly strong.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's really hard. And I think that's why a lot of us don't go there a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And I've also been guilty, actually. Maybe it's funny, actually. I was just thinking today, we're recording this just in the lead up to the last full moon of the year. And yeah, your book's coming at a really good time for me, because I think there's been a lot of pieces throughout the year that I've kind of felt that maybe I've dealt with. Mm-hmm. But actually now during this full moon, it's really like lighting things up that actually, no, I really need to go back and take a look at. And yeah, I think we're all guilty of it sometimes, aren't we? Of just like brushing mm-hmm. things under the rug because it's easier. And like you said, like, because we all want to get to that end result so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's freaking hard to sit there and deal with our shit. But yeah, it's so important.
Yeah, and I think it's just never, you know, as much as we bypass and say we should be trying to always be positive and optimistic, mm. I think it's also important to know that, like, it's not going to feel good you looking at your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the promise, right? I think it's equally as dismissive if we pretend that looking at your stuff is going to be easy. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be worth it, right? Yeah. Like, you know, it's going to be brutal. And I've just lost count of the times I've just been in bed crying in my journal. And, you know, what happens after I've done that is, like, my life changes.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if you're going to feel uncomfortable or sad in life, you're going to just feel sad.
Yeah.
And if you can see that your sadness can be transmuted into joy or bliss or a lesson or growth, then it's like, it's worth being sad for. Because what's our other option? Options just to be sad and to be more sadness.
Mm.
And I think when we kind of get that green light that, like, huh, I wonder if there's something within that. And there may not be for everyone, right? Sometimes we're just desperately sad. Yeah. But if we can see that, like, maybe there is something about me that I've learned through being sad, we just know that it's worth fighting for and we can push through it.
Yeah. Thanks, Giselle. I think you're so freaking refreshing, by the way. Like, seriously. Like,
thank you. I mean, I think for me, like, since I started doing this work, I was just like, I honestly don't know how to be anyone else. Like,
yeah,
this is the only me that I know how to be. And I guess just from doing the work, right, like, I try my best to always be authentic. And it may mean that, like, people don't like what I have to say, but that's just not really my concern. But I think what's interesting for me is, like, you know, most of what I teach or share is a direct result of, like, me holding space for my clients. And mm-hmm. I have just witnessed too many times my clients coming to a session and saying, hey, like, a reader told me that I'm going to marry somebody in 5 months' time and they're not here yet. Someone told me that, like, you know, I'm never going to, you know, find a partner or be happy.
Right.
And it's like, it's my responsibility to say something because it's not okay. Even if, you know, it's like, oh, well, a coach told me that I shouldn't watch the news and just, like, try and keep, you know, being optimistic and upbeat. And it's like, I'm going to have to say something because... because, like, my clients mean the absolute world to me. Mm-hmm. And people trust me with their stories and their time. And I don't want anyone to be harmed because they sought help.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can be honest and to call things out that don't sit well, the more people can access this work in a really beautiful way. Because, like, it does change yeah. people's lives and it's really helpful. It saved my life. And I don't want anyone to come into this space feeling like this isn't a space that they belong in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's for absolutely everyone. And when we're made to feel like it's not, it just becomes all the many industries that exist to keep us divided and othered. And yeah. spirituality can't afford to be one of those spaces.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if we even want to go there, to be honest, because I know it's so controversial. Maybe we breeze over it. But one of the things I really connect to you on was something you posted about COVID a while back. And it was mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, yeah, like calling out the fact that I also felt the same, just like really mm-hmm. As a vaccine person, it's mm-hmm. It felt really uncomfortable to be in the spiritual space being vaccinated. And yeah. I'm kind of like at the point of view of, you know, do what's right for you. And mm-hmm. I don't want to judge anyone else. And I think that you were kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. sort of posting the same thing. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, but again, like, you were the only one doing that I saw, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, I really, and I, you know, when I posted that, I kept saying over and over again, like, I actually really just don't care if you don't want to get vaccinated. Like, it's just not, it has nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
My issue really is, you know, whether you want to get vaccinated or not, is does your space feel safe for people who want to come into your space? Like, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
And I had hundreds of messages from people saying, I just don't feel safe. I've been made to feel like I've made a wrong choice or a bad decision. And some of the things that I saw was just absolutely heartbreaking. I remember I went to sleep that night and I was just crying. I was just absolutely devastated. I was just like, I just can't imagine somebody just having a really beautiful, healthy curiosity about spirituality coming onto Instagram and being told that, like, there's something wrong with them because they've chosen to take a vaccine, or, you know, they just want to make a choice for themselves.
Yeah.
And that was just so hard for me to reconcile with, because that's just not why we're doing this work.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, you can have a voice and a public persona, but you also have a responsibility, and that is to your clients.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, everyone should feel safe coming into your practice, because, you know, whether you do astrology, you're a coach, you're a yoga teacher, you're a spiritual guide, everyone shares a part of their lives with us. So I could never go on Instagram and make comments about, you know, the vaccine being unsafe because of fertility issues, when a lot of my clients have fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not fostering a safe space for them to tell me their truth.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's more important, you know, having a platform to say things, or making sure that people who come to you feel safe? There has to be a balance.
Yeah. Well, just thanks for putting it out, because when I saw it, it really comforted me, at least. And I think, again, just really refreshing to see that. So thank you. And I think we've talked a lot about, you know, kind of creating this safe environment for people as well who are coming in, I guess, like myself, because I'm kind of, the whole concept of this podcast is kind of like, I'm moving on this spiritual journey and just learning, basically. And that's my goal. And I think throughout this kind of discomfort that we've all been sitting through, you also speak in the book as well about that importance of self-care and giving yourself permission to prioritize this. And I think it's true. Like, we often struggle with, like, self-care. I definitely do. And I really also, I just have another thing from the book that I really laughed at, because being British as well, there was a piece in the book where you said how we subconsciously pride in telling people how busy we are. So, like, if you're ever sending, like, a WhatsApp to a British friend and you're asking how they are, I was thinking, like, I also do this. I automatically reply, like, yeah, I'm really busy. It's just like something we naturally do. But I would love to hear from you, Giselle. And if also, what are your little tips and routines that you take for self-care? I'd love to know.
I think self-care is hugely important. And, like, again, annoying that it's become a buzzword, because I think we keep forgetting how important it is. Like, for me, self-care is not always, it can be a bubble bath, but it actually can just be brushing your teeth and drinking a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as it feels like you're prioritizing your spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical body, then you're doing self-care. And I think the balance of that's really important, because we do see ourselves as these just very purely physical, fleshy human beings. So most of our self-care goes towards tending to that physical body. And we question, okay, well, if I've, you know, done a 5K run every single day, why am I still not feeling okay? It's like, have you done any mental, emotional, spiritual stuff that week? So for me, the balance is what's the most important part, and the actual things we do within that is not as important. So for me, when I'm coming into every week, I just look at how I'm feeling and I choose things according to how I'm feeling. So I have, like, a daily yoga practice, and I haven't done yoga in a week since I've been here because I've not been well. And that's okay. And I'm not punishing that. So then I go to, well, what can I do? I don't really feel like I have an appetite either. So I've not been eating what I normally eat. So it's like, this week, I've just had to rest.
Yeah.
And that has been my self-care this week, is just giving myself permission to rest and to just sit still and to move slower. And also compassion with the fact that I'm not moving my body or eating properly. Because I think so often that compassion and kindness that resonates, that comes into our emotional bodies, is just as important as, you know, the yoga practice. It's having the compassion when you just don't actually do your self-care. Like, that's so huge. So I think just, like, having almost like a little list of activities that you like doing in all of those four categories, So if it's like, you know, spiritual, then it can be, do you like doing like oracle cards, for example, or do you like working with crystals? Or just like, do you just like prefer to like meditate or to pray? Like with your physical body, does that look like yoga? Does it look like running? Does it look like lots of like self massages? So I think just like having a list for the week of like, okay, here's my four categories. Here's a few things that I like in each. And then I'll check in with myself every day and see what makes sense for me to do right now. That's kind of like a super low key way of doing self care.
Yeah, I like it, but I like the low key side. And I think we, it's true, like we beat ourselves up so much. And I think it all kind of ties in everything you speak about. It all comes full circle from your book. And it's like, yeah, like sitting in the discomfort, but then also making time for self care and doing both is really crucial. But like, yeah, I'm sort of also like really guilty of beating myself up if I kind of fall off the wagon one day or just and it's trying to catch yourself as well, I think, when you start to do that and just getting better with practice. I think like even like what you just said there, just the fact that you're not beating yourself up about it is just, that's just great. That's hopefully what we should all aim for, and not getting in this like vicious cycle with self-deprecation is not good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I said in the book that like self-care is the inner work in motion. And what I mean by that is when you are just living, especially when you're just on the beginning of your spiritual journey, you can get really consumed by like doing the work, right? And like I did this when I was coming into the space because it's exciting. Like it's new and you have so many realizations and like you want to do the work. And a huge part of doing the work is just going to live your life and just being human and experiencing things around you. Like your body and your human experiences are like the biggest teacher. You will learn more about just like going outside and like reading my book. So it is like, you know, the self-care piece is so helpful, because if one of your self-care practices is just like having like a solo dinner with yourself, you will just learn so much about like, oh my God, I'm so triggered because everyone's looking at me. I don't know where to like put my body when I'm in a public space. Like all of these things will come up. And you'll then come back to like chapter 5 or something and be like, huh, I get it. I get why I do that. And I'm now seeing how I physically do that thing. So self-care is not only about, you know, looking after yourself and making sure that you're okay and that you're whole, but it also just teaches you so much about all the things that you read, the podcasts that you listen to, and how you actually physically, tangibly react to the world around you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I think it's true. It's like you're literally, and maybe... Actually, I would love to know, is this the title of your book is Take It In? And when you're also talking this through, and also how I felt when I read the book, is like I had to sit with myself basically and like really go deep. And you know, you've also got the prompts for journaling, which I love. I'm a big journal fan. Was that also a bit of the intention with the book, just to kind of basically slow down on like what you're saying, like you learn more about yourself that way?
Yeah, like you have all the answers. I'm really convinced that like any huge question that we have, like just taking a breath and a pause, you'll find what the answer is. It's usually hidden underneath a lot of stuff and stories and beliefs and doubts and fears, but you'll find it. So like I know for this book, it really was a case of we read something, we pause, we take it in, and we just sit with what comes up. And then, you know, the end of the book is like, you just need to go and live your life now and see what happens. Because it is, it's just theory, right? It's theory, and you have thoughts and realizations and prompts, but ultimately it just then guides how you see the world around you. When I speak a lot about this idea of there's like a filter that we have in the world around us, and that filter is born out of just like the stuff that we carry. So it's like, for example, if one of my fears is I'm always going to be hurt by people, that's how I see the entire world. And that's what I'm constantly greeted by. So it's like, even in COVID, like because I'm immunocompromised and I have health anxiety, my filter through this whole year has been, I'm going to get sick and I don't want to get sick. So until I remove that filter, my whole experience is I'm going to probably get sick or I don't want to get sick.
Yeah.
And if you compare to somebody who like isn't scared of COVID, their world is different to what I'm experiencing. So the work is for me to then remove that filter, right? And for me, that's why manifesting can be so unintentional, because as soon as I remove that filter of fear that I see the world through, I have the entire world. And the world is a beautiful, magical, exciting place for me to be in. So it's like, I can leave my house today and be terrified of getting sick, or I can say, I'm just going to go and look for some magic today.
Mm.
It's the same day. It's the same world. My filter, my, you know, the way that I see it has just changed.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can that not be manifesting, to see so much potential when you didn't see it yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think that in throughout your book, there's some really like deep shadow layers, but then there is also like this beautiful, you know, positive outlook, which I also really enjoyed. So it does. And your humor as well, being British. It's just very much appreciated from the Brit.
Good. I'm so glad.
So another question that I had was, I also really resonated with your sentiment that we're all spiritual beings. And I think you did touch upon it a little bit before, but also in terms of you defining that as it becoming a bit of our brand or defining mm-hmm. factor, and probably for a lot of the listeners on this podcast, you know, being like modern mystics, I think maybe this is, you know, going to be relatable. And I think there's been a surge of this awakening over the last few years, while also due to like so many factors that we're living through. And I've also been kind of like experiencing this like waking up moment, and also been speaking about this during the podcast. But I think it's important that you address that it doesn't or shouldn't necessarily happen for all of us. And I actually was really appreciative of you putting this in the book, and so we could speak about it now, because I've been quite sort of, I guess when you're putting I'm putting myself out there in the podcast space and talking about my own life and my own awakening. So I actually did quit my job and have gone down a different path this year because I felt really like the call to do that. And you also speak to that in the book, that, you know, maybe you're not, it might not resonate for you to kind of, yeah, just go off and quit your job. So I guess, would you be able to speak more to that about like why it's important to show up spiritually in the day-to-day, but maybe not necessarily us all needing this kind of like waking up moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think like just even the, I mean, as someone who's like, I would say like I've been for, you know, a spiritual awakening, mm-hmm. And lots of people in this space have, I believe in the concept, and I've very viscerally felt what it feels like to have a spiritual awakening. So it's not like I don't believe it's true or exists, because I felt it myself. I think mm-hmm. the language is just a bit divisive. It makes the assumption that like, if you've not had a spiritual awakening, then you're not awake. Mm-hmm. And I think I wrote in the book, I was like, we're not sleeping, like no one's asleep. Like yeah. you're just fine. And again, with some of the stuff that was happening around like the vaccine stuff I see on Instagram from people in this space, it's very much just like, you know, you're a sheep if you listen to the government. I'm like, I don't think you're a sheep if you listen to the government. Like, that's kind of why we're here. We can't just be here with no rules, that we have to be productive members of society. And I think there's like, it's really important with just like how we speak about spirituality, because it needs to be for every single person that exists on this planet.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have had this huge, you know, full spectrum awakening to be a spiritual person, because you just are, because you're here. And I get people asking all the time like how they want to work in this space. And I think it's really beautiful that we always need, you know, more light workers. But I'm also like, it should just feel like a calling. It should mm-hmm. feel like there's no other choice. I don't think it really should feel like it's a viable career option, because it's really hard. It's incredibly hard. It requires, you know, a lot of reflection, introspection. It requires a lot of stillness and space. It requires a huge commitment to your own personal growth so that you can be a safe space holder. Mm-hmm. It requires being the container for like every single person that you ever meet stuff. It's hard work, and it's the most rewarding, beautiful, nourishing work, but it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
I didn't choose this at all. And everyone's always like, I love your life. I'm like, yeah, I love my life too. I didn't choose to do this. Like, I was just minding my business, working in fashion and like flying around Paris and New York. Like, I didn't choose this at all.
Yeah.
And it has been the best choice in the entire world, but it should almost like feel like it's not a choice. And I think we can't get, you know, persuaded by like the glamour of it and the totally. Mysterious qualities of it. It has to really be like, I just want to be of service.
Yeah.
To people, but also to myself and to my growth. And I think like this idea of everyday spirituality is so huge because that's the kind of stuff that just makes a difference and it is really long lasting.
Yeah.
It's when, you know, your day is an absolute mess and you're like, what can I come home to get me out of that? That's what spirituality is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to know what your rising sign is to be spiritual. If all you do is just place a hand on your heart and you breathe and you say, huh, what's here right now? That is a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
So it should feel like it's something that we can all each personally define for ourselves according to what makes sense for us in our own personal lives. And I don't think there has to be this list of requirements to be a spiritual person at all. Yeah. And it's no shade of people who identify heavily as like, you know, I'm very much in this world, in this space, here's the things that I love, because it's lovely like feeling that you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate and honor the connections that I have with other practitioners. It's nice knowing that you're not, you know, a weirdo, you know what I mean? Like it's nice, it's nice having people who can be like, the full moon has really thrown off my entire week.
Yeah.
And me like texting, you know, my astrology friend and being like, this guy is like totally a karmic connection. I don't know what to do about it. Like it's just really special having that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, so you don't have to speak that way or know what those things mean to be spiritual. So like my hope for my book is that even if you have no idea what any of this stuff is, you can still have a spiritual practice and define one, because the world is just like a nicer place if you believe that there's like more than just you having to run the show.
Oh, I love that. I think that's so lovely. I also love that about your book. And that's why I wanted to talk about it now, because I guess you do feel a bit of a weight as well. I felt a bit of a weight in the last month with the podcast, and there's been people reaching out to me saying that they're quitting their jobs. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like I don't want to, not that it, you know, it's not on me, right? It's on them.
Yeah.
But like, I guess you do feel a bit of responsibility, or I have felt a bit of responsibility because I've been sharing my story. But I think I was also quite similar. Like I also used to work in fashion and in marketing my whole life. And then I was also always quite spiritual. Like I would do yoga and stuff like this. Yep. And I would try to like put my practice in to being a nicer person at work, which is also what you talk about in your book as well, is like, how can you apply your spiritual practices, even if you're not working in the spiritual space in a normal space? But then I did really have this like, basically it just came out of nowhere. And it was really awful, actually, like my, I don't know, awakening, if you want to call it that, but it happened and it was really uncomfortable. And like you said, it was like, I've just felt this pull to go here. And then this is it now. And we'll see what happens. And it's like, you know, maybe if it doesn't work out, then something else will come in. But it's, I don't know. I think there's so many people in my life as well that I know who are super spiritual, but not working in the spiritual space. And that's wonderful to have, like you said, those conversations.
Yeah. Like the world's just not going to work if we all left our jobs to be tarot readers.
No.
Like nothing will ever get done. It's not very productive. It's like we all need to do and to fulfill the purpose of which we came here for.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, you know, whether you are a cleaner or a CEO or you are an athlete, if you're spirit informed doing those jobs, that's how the world changes. It's not about trying to make everyone, you know, do exactly the same thing. It's like, how can we change our own corners of the world and then change the whole world in turn? And I don't think that requires everyone to leave their jobs or to change things. And also, it's like, you know, once you do this work and you really know who you are, you can then demand better from the place that you already exist in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can go back to your job on Monday and be like, actually, I do want a pay rise because like I know how worthy I am of that. Or actually, how about if we had initiative where we're just giving back some more? It's like those are the things that make changes. And for some of us, it is just leaving a job and trying something different. And that's really beautiful and strong and courageous. But for a lot of us, it's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in this hustle culture that we live in, it's just like, so we like want to monetize everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, like I really love my healing journey and I've got so much from it. How can I now make that into a career?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's beautiful to be your own personal healing journey.
100%.
And it's beautiful for it to be like a huge hobby or an interest or something you're passionate about, but like you make your money elsewhere. Like we don't have to monetize everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's really important that people feel like there's no right or wrong way to be spiritual.
Yeah, and just got to do what's right for you, isn't it? And just, yeah, mm-hmm. like a lot of things, just use your own intuition and mm-hmm. see what feels right for you. And I think, yeah, thanks for touching on all these things in the book as well that we could do to, you know, basically behave in a better way for ourselves and mm-hmm. others in the world. Because I think that's basically what it's all about at the end of the day, is that. Well, Giselle, I've loved talking to you. And I honestly, like, we're scratching the surface of your book, seriously. And when people read it, they'll know. I can't wait to keep diving into it and going through your journal prompts and everything like this. And yeah, I'm really excited for people to read it, as I'm sure you are. And is there anything else you would like to share, maybe from your book, or anything else you would like to say today to the listeners?
Something that is always like a comeback to work in this space, or like self-help, or, you know, spiritual books, is like that it's all very self-indulgent, and very much like inner focused, and there's like bigger problems, and there's like community change that needs to happen. And I think, you know, the point of this book for me is like, well, how do we build collectives of change? How do we create systemic change? It doesn't start from nowhere. So it's like, you know, if we want police reform, how do we think that's going to happen? You don't just get a group of like 25 people who are like, let's change something. They have to change themselves first. So this work can never be selfish. It can never be self-indulgent, because it kind of requires us all to change individually, or to want better for ourselves individually, to know how worthy we are of being here. And then we can go and create collectives of empowered people who want to create a better planet. So it just feels like there's no other way to begin. Mm-hmm. If we want the world to be different, we have to be different, because we're all citizens of the same planet. So it is, you know, for me, it's always felt really naive to believe that we can just one day create a better world if we're not willing to do our own inner work together.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you for sharing. And
you're so welcome.
And when's your book out? What's the date again? March.
Yeah, so it is out on the 3rd of March 2022, which
nice.
Feels so soon. But yeah, I'm really excited for everyone to read it.
I'm really excited too. And yeah, we'll be sharing lots about it on the social channels as well. Amazing. Thank you so much, Giselle, for talking to me today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast. The podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to follow us on Instagram to stay connected. And before we close, I'd just like to end with a very special thank you to my co-producer, George Lasbury. Stay well and see you soon.